Ryder with his new hit, Right Round. Let's get this party started!
In short, doing the long-distance thing was wearing on me. So when I received a job offer in May 2009 from Maxim.com that would allow me to work from anywhere, I jumped at the opportunity. I could move down to San Diego and live with my girlfriend. The only hitch in my plan was that my girlfriend was not as excited as I was. And by not as excited, I mean to say that when I showed up at her doorstep to deliver the good news in person, she broke up with me. Driving away from her house, I realized that not only was I now single, I had no place to live since I already told my landlord in Los Angeles that I was terminating my lease at the end of the month. Then my engine shut off. As I sat in my car vigorously trying to restart it, it dawned on me that the only people I knew in San Diego who might have room for me were my parents. My stomach started to tense up as I turned the key back and forth in the ignition. It also dawned on me that the family barbecuing on the deck of the house in front of which my car had stalled just might think I was a perv who pulled over to pleasure himself. Luckily, my car started up within a minute, and I sped off for my parents' house. The reason I had become so nervous so quickly was because asking my father for a favor is like arguing a case in front of the Supreme Court. You have to lay out the facts clearly, organize them into an argument, and cite precedents set in previous cases. Shortly after showing up unannounced at my parents' modest three-bedroom house in our San Diego suburb, Point Loma, I was pleading my case before my parents in the living room. I cited my dad versus my brother Daniel Halpern, which led to my brother Dan living at home when he was 29 and going through a transitional phase. About halfway through my argument, my dad cut me off.
It's fine. Jesus, you didn't have to go through that whole bullshit song and dance. You know you can stay here. All I ask is that you pick up your shit so you don't leave your bedroom looking like it was used for a gangbang, he said. Also, sorry that your girlfriend dumped you.
The last time I had lived at home was 10 years prior, during my sophomore year at San Diego State University. At the time, both my parents worked, my mother as a lawyer for a nonprofit, and my father in nuclear medicine at the University of California, San Diego, so I didn't see them very often. 10 years later, my mom was still working full-time, but my 73-year-old dad had retired and was around the house all day long. After my first night back home, I crawled out of bed at around 8:30 a.m. and set up my office, read my laptop, in the living room where my dad was watching TV, to begin writing my first column. Michael Jackson had just died, and I was working on a comic portraying Jesus overlooking the pedophile charges against Michael Jackson and letting him into heaven anyway because he was such a fan of the King of Pop. My editor later pointed out that it should have been St. Peter ushering MJ through the gates of heaven, but that's beside the point. My dad had a hard time understanding that someone sitting in his pajamas and searching through Google Images for silly pictures of Jesus Christ was working, so he treated me like I wasn't.
Why the fuck is Wolf Blitzer talking to me about Michael Jackson? He barked. The president is in fucking Russia trying to get those sons of bitches to stop with the nukes, and he's talking to me about Michael Jackson. Fuck you, Wolf Blitzer!
Every so often throughout the rest of the day, my dad would get fired up about something, bound into the living room from the kitchen or front yard or wherever he'd been, and shout something like,
Are you putting ketchup on that hamburger I made you?
Yeah, why?
Why? What the fuck do you mean, why? That's a gourmet hamburger. This ain't some horse shit you cook. I spent time on that. Next time, I make shit for you.
It was good to be home. For as long as I've known him, my father has been a blunt individual. When I was little, I mostly felt terrified of him, so I couldn't appreciate that I was dealing with the least passive-aggressive human being on the planet. Now, as an adult, all day long I dealt with people, friends, coworkers, relatives, who never really said what they were thinking. The more time I spent with my dad in those first couple months back home, the more grateful I started to feel for the mixture of honesty and insanity that characterized his comments and personality. One day, I was on a walk with him and my dog Angus, who was sniffing around in a bush outside a neighbor's house. My dad turned to me and said,
Look at the dog's asshole.
What? Why?
You can tell by the dilation of his asshole that he's going to shit soon. See? There it goes.
It was at that moment, as my dog emptied his bowels in my neighbor's yard and my dad stood there proudly watching his prediction come true, that I realized how wise, even prophetic, he really was.